Welcome into Making Your Home Great with Architect Stephen Klipp here on Talk Radio 850. If you're looking to remodel your house, any of those home renovations, whatever you're looking for today, then make sure that you call in 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783 is our number. We do the show every Thursday. It's live. It's local. And ladies and gentlemen, back from assignment, here he is, Stephen Klipp. I've been playing Stephen Klipp. It hasn't gone very well the last few weeks because I'm not an architect. I'm not an architect, so I'm glad you're back.
No, but you're playing architect very well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm an architect on the radio. No, but I'm glad to have you back, and we've got a very special show today. I have a good feeling.
Oh, we do. We've got a couple of guests here who are going to talk about a program. Part of the whole architecture thing is our responsibility to the community and to reach out to the community and to both my view of on this show is just to encourage people to use architects and residential design, that every house can be made better using the expertise of the architect. So that's my goal on this show, is to encourage everybody to get an architect involved in the house. And today we have two guests, Teresa Bartholomew.
Tara Bartholomew.
And George Smart. And they're going
Teresa
to talk
Bartholomew
about...
is her sister in Canada.
So you're playing your sister.
Sure.
And they're going to talk about how the architecture community is reaching out to the communities of North Carolina to do something on the reverse side.
You know,
George?
Yes, hi. I'm George Smart, and I'm with North Carolina Modernist Houses. One of our initiatives this last year and a half is called Project Bauhaus. It's a combination of Bauhaus, which was a German modernist movement, and know-how, which equals Bauhaus. And we are involved in rural high schools around North Carolina, at the 9th and 10th grade level, because once you get outside of Raleigh and Durham and Chapel Hill, it's a very different scene with technology. We take internet and high-speed CAD systems for granted, but in rural areas of North Carolina that are very sparsely populated, some counties only have a few high schools, it's a very different situation. Up to 60% of the kids there don't have access to the internet at all at home except from their cell phones. And about 80% of the kids don't have a computer that's capable of using CAD, computer-aided design software, at all. So what Project Bauhaus does in a nutshell is we give away CAD systems to students in these rural counties in 9th and 10th grade to take home.
Desktop computers.
Desktop computers.
CAD. Computer-aided design.
The whole package.
Loaded on them.
The whole equipment. They get to take them home and practice the CAD they're learning in the classroom so they can actually master this skill, because there's just not enough time in the classroom for a kid to master CAD and develop a portfolio and move on to a career in design, be it architecture or graphic design or industrial design or interior design.
Or engineering.
So I'm pleased to have with us today Tara Bartholomew, who is the drafting teacher at Rollsville High School, which is in northern Wake County. She was our first Project Bauhaus school to sign up, and the program is now in its second year. And she's going to tell us a little bit about how Project Bauhaus was received at the school and about one of their winners.
Okay. It is very exciting to have Project Bauhaus at Rollsville High School. Rollsville High School just opened. We're in our second year, the middle of our second year. And we've given away about 30 computers so far. And the students are just, they're amazed. They're shocked that they can take a computer home and they don't have to give it back. It's theirs to keep. It has AutoCAD on it. And it just, it's an amazing opportunity for them to do some more work at home that they are enjoying learning at school. Last year we had a student win the competition. His name was Wesley Pritzloff, and he was a freshman. He was so excited. He went to the design camp over the summer because of winning Project Bauhaus. He was just gleaming, smiling from ear to ear, holding his trophy at the award ceremony that we had last summer. He's an amazing student, and many of the students are just so creative, and they don't have a lot of places to you know, express that creativity, and Project Bauhaus definitely gives them that.
And Stephen, this is great for someone like you who is an architect, because a lot of, when we're talking about the rural areas and even the metropolitan areas for kids who can't afford a computer, this is great for people, for your industry, for the future of being, for a whole bunch of architects.
Well, yes. we don't need too many architects.
I know what you mean. But
it's amazing when I look out at the profession, and there's a majority of people in North Carolina, of kids growing up and through high school, who don't know what an architect does. Mm. And I go out, and for decades I have talked to kids and mentored them about going into the architecture profession. And there's a whole lot, especially in the minority community, who've never encountered an architect. And so this is, it starts with the drafting in high school, and it starts with discovering, is this the sort of thing you like, which they can't do today without a computer. So the Project Bauhaus is great for that. George, how did, describe these computers and describe, you know, how you get them into the homes.
Well, they're just irregular computers like we would drive out to Best Buy and pick up. They have a little more horsepower, a little more memory, bigger screens, kind of something that you would see in a corporate office in Research Triangle Park, with a powerful enough processor to run CAD software, which is pretty much of a resource hog on the computer. So it can't be just something that, you know, you picked up at a garage sale. You can't run CAD on that. It has to be of a certain caliber of equipment.
And so you have donors who will commit to donating the computers to a school.
No, it works a little bit differently. We are actually the donors to the school. We obtain the computers. We donate them directly to the school. It's all funded through our initiatives in North Carolina Modernist Houses. We will have in this coming year some sponsors for a couple of different schools.
That's what I meant. You have sponsors.
And they contribute
help.
To us to administer the program. And then, as Tara mentioned, we tie this all back into scholarships at NC State's design camp during the summer. So each school can win a scholarship and send one kid to this terrific camp where they can experience the whole variety of design disciplines in a week.
Oh, let me talk about the design camp. It is the NC State School of Design, or College of Design now, has this two-week program in the middle of the summer where kids go in, high school kids, and they see whether they want to be architects and designers. And they experience what an architectural student does for 2 weeks. My son, that turned him around. And he had no idea what he wanted to do. He probably was looking at computer design and computer gaming design. He went to the design camp and almost did not sleep for the 2 weeks, and absolutely solidified with him that he wanted to be an architect. And it was just a terrific thing. They do an incredible job. And I've urged so many people to go there. But as you talked about, Tara, for a kid from especially a low-income family,
right,
it's not expensive, but coming up with the cost of that camp is
absolutely
meaningful.
I don't think – there are probably very few students that I have at Roseville High School that would choose to go to that camp on their own without a scholarship. A lot of them are just not aware of it. The money is definitely an issue. The distance, it's far.
It's just Raleigh.
It is, but Roseville is, it's a very small town, mm-hmm, all the way at the very northern, you know, border, or northeast, I guess, border of Wake County.
And you toss these kids on campus. It is very different than going to a sports camp.
It is. It's very different.
And the intensity that you see in the kids there, the intensity that you see in the counselors,
mm-hmm,
is extreme. This is great fun. This is wonderful stuff, and they are challenged in ways that, you know, they don't even see in their high schools.
Absolutely, and it is a lot of fun. And a lot of the students that I get in the first level is drafting one. they, a lot of them come into that class not even really knowing what drafting is and what they're going to learn. And then it just, it definitely sparks an interest, learning to use AutoCAD, drawing on the computer.
919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. Do you have a question this morning? We'd love to have you. In fact, it's great to have Stephen back. Missed you, buddy. 919-860-9783. This is Making Your Home Great with Architect Stephen Clipp on Talk Radio 850. Making Your Home Great with Architect Stephen Clipp on Talk Radio 850. If you're just joining us, a very special show. George Smart from North Carolina Modernist Homes is a very interesting thing. In fact, give us a call, 919-860-9783. For those just tuning in, you've been on the show a couple times. Can you explain what that means when you talk about a modern home?
Sure. Our organization has three functions. We serve as a nonprofit for the documentation, the preservation, and the promotion of modernist residential architecture in North Carolina. So that strange house that you have down your street that everyone thinks is sort of an oddball is probably a modernist house. And there are about 1,300 of them in the state.
And because the NC State School of Design was one of the top schools, architecture schools in the world back in the 1950s and 1960s, and brought some incredible design talent to North Carolina, is why we have this really big stock of modernist homes.
Yes, Henry Kamphefner was the, he was like the Krzyzewski of architecture back in the day, and he was recruited to come to NC State to start a world-class architecture program in 1948, and he was there for about 25 years. And the school continues with a worldwide reputation, although it's broadened from just a strict architecture focus into other areas of design.
It's also one of the toughest schools, maybe the toughest school in the country, school of design in the country, to actually get accepted to. Because the school only accepts 100 students a year, that's an extremely small class. And they get 1,800 applications for those 100 positions.
So I shouldn't even apply, is what you're saying, Steve.
Well, no, but it comes back to, Tara, what you were talking about. And to apply to the School of Design, the College of Design, you have to have a portfolio. And these portfolios are incredibly sophisticated. And frankly, I didn't have a portfolio like this when I was applying to school back then, so I probably wouldn't have been accepted undergrad too.
Well, they didn't have cars back then, did they, Steve?
Horse and buggy, I think. Yeah. Tara, what? So if parents like myself listening right now that have teenagers, what is that consider? When you hear, I know what portfolio means, but what do they need inside that portfolio to have a chance to get into a school or college of design?
The portfolios, I believe, that NC State is looking for now, and they could probably talk much better about it than I could, but it has a lot of varied work. They want to see artwork. They want to see technical skills. They want to see digital. Everything is submitted digitally now. They don't, back when I went to school, you know, you had all your work in your bag.
Yeah.
So everything is digital. But definitely they want to see a wide variety of skills from the students.
And I know today with technology, I have a daughter that's 9 months, now 10 months old, and she's already using a tablet we got for her for Christmas. It's amazing at 10 months old. So the kids, even a little baby that's not even a year old, is using technology.
They do, but they're scratching the surface of it. The 95% of the people use about 2% of the capability of their technology. And what we're talking about here, and Tara, with these students in AutoCAD, it really digs much deeper into the capability of it, and, you know, gives back, the students understand much more. You just don't hit an app and do something.
True, it's true. And it takes them a while. At first, most of the students are, oh, I don't like AutoCAD. Oh, I can't work it. And as they try and try and try again, finally, like, the light bulb goes on and it clicks, and then they love it.
But
oh, I get it now.
Computers
I get
at
it.
Home, this is why they're, when you go to college, the most labor intensive, work intensive program you can do at college is architecture. It is the reason why they do all-nighters. It's why it's the only building on campus that at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning, has people in there working.
Yep.
And when you're talking about AutoCAD, that's a very good point with the software. We have, when having a teaching background like I have as well, in addition to radio, my two loves, the teaching part of it, you don't have a lot of time to spend with each and every kid to begin with. And then when you have software that really needs, it's a labor of love, and you need to have, that's why it's great. George, you have an organization where you're with Project Bauhaus, where you can, people can actually have computers donated and then to schools, right? And then they can take those computers home, the students can. So there's a lot of students, you don't have a lot of time. There's not a lot of computers at the school to, there's not one, in other words, a ratio of 1 to 1 where every student and every have a computer.
No, they just have a specialty classroom set up for drafting like Tara has. And a limited amount of time they can attend that class.
Right.
So even if they're very smart and very motivated, they still don't have the time required to gain the skills. And that's what this is all about.
How can people get in contact if there's teachers, parents, students? How can they get in contact with you on how they can find out more about Project Bauhaus for their school?
Well, they can go to our website, which is ncmodernist.org, and click on the Project Bauhaus link. There are links on the site to contact us and the description of the program both last year and this year. And what I think people will find most interesting is that this year, for instance, we're in 4 schools around the state. We're in Rollsville, we're in Fayetteville, we're in Mayodan, which is up in Rockingham County, and we're in Newton Conover, which is near Hickory. So that's 4 schools, about 60 students who've received systems this year, who'll all be competing in this competition for NC State Design Camp scholarships later on here in the spring.
It'd be great to see this Project Bauhaus in all 100 counties. That would be really cool.
Well, it would. absolutely. And if someone would like to write a big check to me and send it in, please do.
There you go. The website, again, is ncmodernist.org. 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. If you got something on your mind, maybe you want to talk to George or Tara or Stephen Cliff, our architect. That would be great, too. 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. This is Making Your Home Great with Architect Stephen Cliff on Talk Radio 850. Your home great with architect Stephen Cliff on Talk Radio 850. It's a brand new year, 2015. We have Stephen back. I feel like it's a brand new beginning for us. And one of the great things about 2015 is the economy is doing better. Believe it or not, we have interest rates low. Great time to buy a home. And you need to get an architect if, even if you're just looking for, you're new to the area, if you're looking for a different kind of home, you can help them out, right, Stephen?
Yes. What I urge people to do, one of the services I do is a consult. And you've looked at the housing market, you've looked at homes, you've identified a couple of homes, and you think one of these is the one. However, each one of them has something you want to do to it. Each one of them, you've got some questions. You can hire me for a consult. And I will go with you and look at the home or the 2 or 3 homes and give you the pros and cons of each. This one, you want to replace the kitchen. Well, in this case, it's easy to replace because pretty much the space is good. You just have to do cabinets, countertops, and appliances. Or, oh my God, this thing's a mess. And just to get it to where you can put in the cabinets, countertops, and appliances, you're going to spend $40,000.
Well,
so this is information that is really best to have before you make the offer on that house. And I went with a client recently and looked at 3 houses that they were thinking of buying. One of them he loved because it had a sunroom that he just loved and could see sitting in. The rest of the house was awful. It had been added on to and jury-rigged and was just awful. But he couldn't see beyond that one sunroom special.
Well, that's a good point. Just like you would get an auto mechanic to check out a car before you buy a previously owned car.
And you get a home inspector to check out that the roof doesn't leak.
Correct. This case right here, this is good because you're actually objective. A lot of times when you go in, isn't it an emotional experience when you go to buy a car? Or if you're buying a home, a home is something that you're going to have for a number of years.
A home is almost definitely your biggest investment that you will make. And a really good home and a really bad home probably cost the same thing. It's just one person is able to understand this is a really good home and that's a bad one.
And the great thing about it, you could charge a lot more, but what is it,
$95?
$95. So everybody would think has $95 to put in to invest in to see if this is a good home or not. And like George, for your example, for modernist homes, I know there are a lot of people looking for that. Somebody like Stephen or yourself are good resources, or there might be someone that's not looking for a traditional home. They're looking for more of a modernist home, and both of you are actually people that are great resources for modernist homes, right?
Well, for completely different reasons.
Right.
Steve is an actual architect, and I merely run a website.
Okay.
So there's a big difference.
Right.
But one of the neat things, I mean, I've looked at a lot of modernist homes, a lot of them were built 50 years ago,
right,
40 years ago. What is it going to take to bring this home up to 2015? I've looked at one recently where I thought you just basically had to get it back to the skin and just pretty much start over again. I've looked at others where there's really not much to do here. And understanding that before you buy it, understanding that this is a, you know, $50,000 renovation or this is a $500,000 renovation is a huge difference.
One of the things that people call and ask me all the time is, how do I find a good architect for my house? And my response to them is that it's not really much of a problem. There are lots of good architects around that can design a modernist house. Your problem is finding a good contractor because, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, a lot of contractors lie, and they lie a lot, and they say that they can build a modernist house, and they can't. Your cousin Earl cannot build a modernist house, no matter what he says. There are very few people who have the skill set and the subcontractors to really pull it off because you're dealing in often steel, concrete, large amounts of glass, and they're not used to building that traditional home. So whatever architect you get, you really want to make sure that you're vetting your contractors to make sure they have experience.
And it all starts, Tara, back to high school. I really felt like that we need to spend more money on vocational programs, not just because you're sitting there, but I really believe that that's something we've been lacking over the last couple decades.
I think that the government is really putting money into that.
Okay.
My department at school is called CTE, Careers in Technology and Education. And I only started teaching about 7 years ago. So I think that there is a big push for that. And I think we're moving towards it. So.
Okay, good. I hope
so. One of the things that blows me away, one of our other partners on this show is Streamline Plumbing and Bowman Mechanical Services, HVAC contractors. They are begging for skilled workers. And it is, if you're in high school, if you're not interested in going to college or the trades, you can make as much money as a plumber as you can as a bank vice president.
That's true.
You can make as much money as an electrician, and there are jobs out there. There are a tremendous number of jobs. All you have to do is get an apprentice program. The high schools are now starting to help out with this.
They are. The apprentice programs are, yeah, very large. And I've had a couple of speakers come in already this year from about three different companies that are looking for apprenticeships.
They are looking, and these are great jobs that pay extremely well, and they can't find people.
Yes,
and
amazing.
If you get involved in the apprenticeship programs that Wake County is trying to start to offer, They're a guaranteed job. If, you know, if all goes well and the student works well with the business that they're at, those businesses will hire them.
And they're starting out at a real livable wage too, which is a whole other show, I know, but it really is good money. And another point.
Well, and it doesn't matter. Even if it's minimum wage to start your training.
Oh, yeah.
Within 10 years, you're making $50,000 a year.
Exactly. And not only that, but with the baby boomer population right now retiring more and more every year, then there is a real need of plumbers, electricians, you name it, anything with the trade capacity there. 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. We have actually people calling in. We'll take your calls, questions, comments, concerns, you name it, we'll handle it. On the other side, 919-860-9783. This is Making Your Home Great with Architect Stephen Clip on Talk Radio 850. You're listening to Making Your Home Great with Architect Stephen Clip on Talk Radio 850, 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. We have a game show now called Stump the Architect we're going to play. I'm just kidding. Stephen Clip, I'm glad to have you back. 919-860-9783.
I'll take cantilevers for 200, Steve.
Let's go to John and Raleigh. Welcome in to Making Your Home Great.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. How are you?
I'm doing fine now.
All right, and what's your question this morning for Stephen or comment?
Well, I don't have a question. What I have are two personal stories that kind of reinforce it, just about everything that you've been talking about on the program.
Okay, go for it.
And one of them starts when I was 14 years old. That was back in 1944. And that's when I decided...
Involved in this story, or is it about architecture?
Pardon?
Okay, keep going.
Okay. That's when I decided to... transfer from one high school to another had drafting and also a wood shop and pattern making. And I caught on to the drafting part of it and traveled, 66 miles each way from
wow.
My last 3 years of high school. That teacher was so good. He was a structural engineer who decided to teach at a high school. And did a marvelous job. Students from that class who all had to buy a book outside of the one that was given by the schools at that time. It was a public school, a technical school. And these students went all over the place. Some went to MIT. I went to Purdue Northwestern. Finally wound up teaching for 32 years at North Carolina State University in civil engineering. But anyway, this teacher was so inspired to teach this stuff that he just did a marvelous job. He got me a job at the American Bridge Company in Gary, Indiana. And
wow,
it was structural engineering, drafting. Mm-hmm. He designed mill building, roof trusses,
And it all comes down to your introduction to drafting
right.
when you were in about ninth grade.
And great teachers like Tara.
Yeah, right, right. And that was the beginning of the story. But it led me I was associate dean for the College of Engineering at NC State. And the others. And quite a few people
discover they started out and think architect because architects are sexy. Thank you. And discover that their real passion is engineering.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
I've had most of the people I've talked to and counseled high school students have in the end gone into engineering rather than architecture.
Well, the other story that I have, part of that story is a sad story about that teacher. He had us all buy this book on stress.
Mm-hmm.
Structural drafting and the strength of materials. And, we learned how to design buildings and bridges and
sure.
a lot of different little things and connections. Anyway, the principal at that school. And this goes back a long way. This is 1944.
Yes.
Brought him down to the office and said that he better quit having us buy these books that wasn't allowed in the school system. And he said, and teaching these kinds of things, drafting is all you have to do. You don't have to do all this other stuff, statics and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's part of, and this is part of, you discover everything's connected.
Yep,
and you start out drafting, and you get into, as George Smart has said, design.
Yeah.
And designing these modernist houses for the competition. And then you get into, well, what happens to the materials? You can't have a 2x4 spanning 20 feet holding up a roof.
You got it. Well, we went through all of that. But the sad part was the principal told him that he would stop doing what he was doing, or he was going to fire him.
Well, John, we've got other callers, so we need to, to wrap up.
He fired him, and the guy was so despondent, he hung himself in the closet.
Oh, no.
Isn't that something?
I'm sorry.
I'm going to look at the happy aspects of this.
Yeah.
He introduced a lot of people to architecture and engineering, and obviously it had a great effect on you, just as I think, Tara, you know, you're having a great effect on these students who don't even know what an architect is, probably, when they start out.
That's right.
All right.
Let's go to Larry and Bass. Larry, welcome into Making Your Home Great.
Hey, Dave. It's Larry Lightell. I'm down in Bass today.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. As you know, I work with a lot of K-12 around the country, and I'm just curious. One of the areas we work a lot in is with 3D printers and a lot of CTE programs and drafting programs, industrial design programs are using them in a big way. I don't see it. I live in Raleigh, but I work a lot in Texas and up in New England.
Right.
I see a lot more outside of the state than I see here. So I guess my question is for Tara. I mean, are you using a lot of 3D design capabilities now in the classrooms? Is this something you're planning to do? Because I see just amazing things when these kids are able to do rapid prototyping and able to go in there and design and change things and work as teams or even as part of STEM programs. It's incredible what they're accomplishing.
Right. We do have a 3D printer at my school. It's not in my classroom. We have another class called TED, Technology Education and Design, or Engineering and Design, and they use the 3D printer in there. I have not had much experience with those, but I know that it is a push. Wake County is looking to put brand new 3D printers in all of the high schools this upcoming year.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I think you'll be impressed to see what the kids can do. I've seen STEM programs that started doing things with 3D printing and putting together the kids that do graphic design, kids that do math, kids that do science, and kids that do even graphic art.
Well, I'll turn around and say that I kind of feel that before you get to the 3D printer, and there are some architecture schools that do not allow the computer and during the freshman year, that before you start doing things on 3D printers, you really need to build a bunch of models physically and in clay and wood and something. You need to start understanding form, and a whole lot of understanding form goes beyond the visual. It goes to the touch, and this touch, see, think combination. So I actually would say that the 3D printers at the high school level, at the early college level, may actually inhibit the expansion of the mind and the design capabilities because it doesn't integrate all the different aspects into it.
Right. For Project Bauhaus and my students, I have all of them, we create 3D models out of foam core.
Mm-hmm.
To look at it, the three-dimensionality of it. But yeah, I know the 3D printers are a big push.
Yeah.
Or maybe it shouldn't be an introduction class or for the first class, but maybe down the line a senior class or something like that. Would that be fair?
Sure. Somebody's going to have to teach me how to use one.
Well, you got Larry Lytle. I know, Larry, you know how to do it, right?
Oh, yeah, I know how to do it. And the only thing I would say is, yes, the tactile area of design and things like that are incredibly important. I think what it is, though, is that these are tools, and they're tools to allow kids to do. It's almost like a separate course. I think you still mm-hmm. do need to do the other prototyping in play or whatever materials you're using. But I think years ago I worked at Hewlett-Packard. We started going directly with 3D CAD systems and finite element analysis and stuff like that. You weren't even developing prototypes anymore. You were going from design to
I know, and what's interesting is the top architects in the world, if they're doing a new building, they will do 100 models.
Yes.
They will, and a lot of them are done now on the 3D printers. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are also, even before you do that, they'll do 20 models by hand.
To get a good feel of it, no pun intended.
To get a feel, yeah, to get it, and you have to. This is a tactile thing. This is a brain-hand connection.
Yeah, I think what Larry's saying is a tool in addition to, it's not replacing the actual models, right, Larry?
Yeah, it's something in your toolkit, and you can build, when you're doing 3D design, you're doing things in miniature as well, so it's an opportunity to tweak designs for kids to see very quickly the results of the design work. And I'm with you completely that it does not take the place of kids, especially in serious design and architecture and mechanical design, actually getting their hands on and building the models as they used to, that you don't want to lose that capability. It's just, again, it's a tool in the toolkit, and we're mm-hmm. seeing just amazing results with it. Thanks. I'll let you guys go on.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Larry. 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. Appreciate Larry as always. Glad to have George and Tara with us as well. You're listening to Making Your Home Great with architect Stephen Klipp on Talk Radio 850. Listen to Making Your Home Great with architect Stephen Klipp on Talk Radio 850. Fascinating conversation today, especially if you love architecture. You came to the right place. We do lots of different stuff on our show. It's kind of like a big tent, and we talk about
it. I love students.
I do too. Yes, I do. I love students as well. And with us, before I forget, George Smart from North Carolina Modernist Homes, I should say. I want to give you a chance to talk about upcoming events, how people can sponsor your organization.
Sure. We do about 30 events a year. We do trips around the local area, the state, and the country to visit interesting modernist houses. We do movies during the winter. We have one coming up on February 4th at the Full Frames Theater in Durham. It's on Paolo Soleri, who did Arcasanti Out West, which is one of those 70s utopian communities that actually lasted. It's a fascinating film. Then on the 19th, we'll be at Ambianti Furniture here in Raleigh for our Thirst for Architecture Happy Hour, where you can come and browse the amazing modernist furniture and have a drink and meet people who like modernist architecture.
Stephen and I will be there. No, that actually sounds like – that does sound like a lot of fun, where people can – you said modern furniture. That's
right.
Really cool.
Right. It's a great modern furniture store, and we have these Thirst for Architecture Happy Hours every month. So if you go on the website, which is ncmodernist.org, you can see our schedule for this whole year. We'll be at a variety of different places. All the events are free and open to the public.
And as far as people sponsoring you for, like, with the different initiatives you have, how can they do that?
Yes, you can go to ncmodernist.org and click on the sponsor tab and see the different ways that companies can reach our audience. We have a really huge audience. We're the largest website in America for modernist residential design. We get between about 40 and 200,000 hits a month on the website. And we have sponsors for both the website and our newsletter, which comes out at 8:30 a.m. every Monday morning to about 4,000 people.
And if you're in especially a more rural community, do sponsor Project Bauhaus. How would they go about doing that?
The same way, they can go to the website, ncmodernist.org, and click on the Project Bauhaus tab. That'll put them in touch with what the program is and examples, and then they can get in touch with us. And we have this all the time where people suggest a high school in their community or that they want to help out. It's very inexpensive to sponsor an entire school for a year, which covers all the hardware, the software, the scholarships, everything.
And this will be great for local computer companies as well. We have here in the Triangle, and that we also, the people listening right now, maybe you can get your company involved in this. There's a lot of ways that we can give back to our communities, and especially in North Carolina, we have such a diverse area, rural areas. We have a lot of growing metropolitan areas, and we need to help our students, especially, I know you're looking for rural areas first.
That's right, because the rural areas are so underserved and don't have the technological infrastructure that we are all used to here in the Triangle.
I know, Terry, you were talking about the second year of Rollsville High School, and it's different, you know, from there versus going to Raleigh, the big city. Like, I feel like we're on Mayberry with Andy Griffith, but we're going to Raleigh. But seriously, there are a lot of kids who may not have even gone out of the state of North Carolina. They may never have gone out of Wake County. This is a way you can bring technology and a way for them to actually get maybe a future profession out of this.
It's true, absolutely true. I taught at Enloe before I went up to Roseville, so it's a very different environment. On my way to work now, I pass fields of tobacco and horses. And but yes, the students up there, they really appreciate the technology, and a lot of them don't, you know. When I was at Enloe, a lot of students had their own computers, but up in Roseville, a lot of students, they don't. They don't have their own computer to work on.
And that's amazing with the announcement this week with Google coming a couple days ago that we're going to have the Google Fiber, where we're going to have that. And then we actually have students that don't even have a computer at home. It's amazing to think about. There's a certain disconnect, I guess, with people, working class families, that they just can't afford a computer at home.
And Rollsville is like Vegas compared to Bertie County or
Martin County I grew up in.
Or some of the other counties who have classroom computers but are working with students who the only way they connect with the Internet is typically through their cell phones.
That's amazing. So they don't even have a computer at home. It's just the cell phone they have.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm really, really – in 2015, it's baffling to think about that we live and die with technology – by technology, and that they wouldn't have it.
Well, do you realize 50 years ago, there were a substantial number of homes in North Carolina that did not have indoor plumbing?
Right.
So how quickly we're moving, and quite a few people get left behind.
That's sad. I know some people that said, when I mentioned a website to especially an older person, they're like, Dave, I don't even have a computer. I wouldn't even know how to turn one on. And it just it amazes me. I can't believe that people wouldn't know how to turn on a computer or to work a computer.
But this is great, and it allows them, I'm sure, the computer also, they can use it for their other school work. And
absolutely. The computer that they receive from us, they can, you know, they can do their homework on it, get on the Internet, do everything they pretty much need to do.
And with the time we have left, what is the benefits of Project Bauhaus when – or for these kids that you've seen, what's the difference between before and after?
For me, I really enjoy watching the students really struggle with the whole creation. How do I design a house? How do I make AutoCAD work the way I want it to work? The competition part of it really puts the fire under their butt because they all want to win. So they're competing against each other. So they look at each other's projects to see, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to do this to make it better. And it's really fun.
And if you want to see a great story, you can go on our website, ncmodernist.org, and click on Project Bauhaus and see last year's program where we had Wesley Pritzloff at Rollsville as one of the kids that was on the initial video. And then he won the competition, and he's on the second video after winning it.
Wow.
Not only is he like taller and older, but his whole experience is great to watch.
George Smart, thank you. Tara, thank you very much. NorthCarolinaModernist.org and Stephen Klipp, they can just Google you, right?
Yes, Stephen Klipp, C-L-I-P-P.
And Stephen Klipp Architecture is a great website. Check it out. You've been listening to Making Your Home Great with architect Stephen Klipp. We do it every Thursday. It's 9 to 10 on Talk Radio 850.